In this world, can we really believe in anything? We live in a world of disinformation and persuasion and spin. Even a picture that used to be worth 1,000 words is probably worth a few less because of digital manipulation. But where is there something that we can count on? Someone that we can be sure of? Someone that we can believe in? Well, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is someone to believe in. And we want to talk today of an encounter that's found in John chapter 9 of a man who came to believe. And the story is set across the backdrop of massive skepticism and unbelief. And just like our lives are set across the backdrop of the same, we are called to put our eyes and put our focus and attach our worship and our love and our devotion to the Lord Jesus. And as we do, we're going to find that Jesus is one that we should believe in. That we should simply do this in any circumstance of life. Just believe. Just believe. Let me set the scene for you, beginning in verse 1 of here in John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Well, I want to just talk to you about three different aspects of coming to this realization to just believe in Jesus as we focus and attach our faith in him. First of all, we need to stop the blame. Just believe. In these first few verses, you see it's in Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples are walking by, and here they see this man who was there. He was blind from birth, and rather than trying to minister to the man or express some sympathy or some empathy, they merely descend into a theological discussion, speaking about this man, as it were, in the third person. And there was this understanding, and their understanding was, that because of his affliction, somebody has to be responsible. Someone is to blame. Who is to blame? Is it this man or is it his parents? Is this a judgment upon them? Now, first of all, you have to understand that all sin, and I think we'll see that in Jesus' reaction beginning in verse 5 in just a moment, all sin results in all the bad things we see in life, all the suffering in life. In a very general sense, it's because of sin. But in a particular sense, we need to be very, very careful to say this sin results in that particular eventuality. To connect the two, that's not for us. That's for God to do and for Him alone. But it is true that all suffering has its ultimate result in a general sense from sin. But here, their idea was, must have been a particular sin, a particular situation that led to this particular judgment by God. And they're arguing about it. But Jesus kind of just swats it all away in verse 3, which says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." It's not that particular connection, but that the works of God should be revealed. He's about to reveal something very particular. And it's not just that Jesus has the ability to give sight to the blind, although that's very impressive, is it not? But he's going to show something about our belief and our unbelief, okay? So he says that. He says, I work the works of him who sent me. I must do these works while it is day. There's a limited amount of time that Jesus is going to be on the earth. And then look at verse 5. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and here it is, and came back seeing. Jesus just heals this man. He does it sort of in an unusual way, and we might wonder, well, what's all this about? He's spitting in the dirt and making this mud and rubbing it on the man's eyes and telling him to go wash. Well, back a few weeks ago at the beginning of the series, we looked in Mark chapter 8 of the story of Jesus actually spitting in the eyes of this blind man. So it's sort of related. And we talked then about how when you spit on something, you were making it unclean. It was sort of a way of rejecting. And in some ways, I think it's related. Jesus is rejecting the results of this general understanding that we have sin and we have suffering as a result of sin. It's part of that. But part of it, he wants him to go and to wash and to understand that even in his physical healing, there's a deeper cleansing going on. He leaves what we assume is the area around the temple and heads southeast. and he goes to the Pool of Siloam. Interesting, in 2004, the Pool of Siloam was uncovered and excavated. You can see it in Jerusalem today, or at least a portion of it. It was rather large. It's about 225, it would have been 225 feet across in that day. Had multiple steps so people could step down into this pool. And it was a place of ritual washing and a gathering place when people came to Jerusalem and they made this short journey up. It's actually fed from the Gihon Spring, which flows through Hezekiah's tunnel. You might want to look up those two things. You'll find the fascinating, the history and the archaeology behind them. But it's this water, which was the only fresh water source for Jerusalem, the Gihon Spring. So this is a very important channel of water. And it kind of exited into this Pool of Siloam. So he goes down there and he washes, and as he's washing, suddenly his sight is restored and he's now coming back to the temple fully restored. This just reminds us of the simple truth. Sometimes we get caught in the blame game. We get caught up in trying to blame this person or blame that person or blame the situation or blame the world, blame our environment, blame our history, and sometimes even blame God. Sometimes people who are on the outside looking in of faith tend to do this blame game as well. They tend to say, oh Lord, it's your fault. It's someone else's fault. I'm not responsible for my sins. I don't need a Savior. I don't need all that religion stuff. I'm as good as anyone else. It never works. It didn't work in this story, by the way. Jesus says, this is for the glory of God. This is so that God's work can be on display. And this is what God wants to do for you if you are on the outside looking in when it comes to faith. He wants you to stop blaming others for your situation. Stop blaming God. Stop looking for any other excuse that you can and simply do this. Just believe. Just put your faith in Him. If you do, just as this man was blind and then he came back seeing, you'll see things that you never saw before. You'll have your sins forgiven. You'll be washed clean from all of the guilt and all of the burden of all those things, all those transgressions, all those iniquities in your life, all those sins in your life. You want to be set free today? You stop playing the blame game and come to the Savior. Now, there's a sense in which we as believers can also play the blame game, okay? I'm not really going to involve myself in ministry. I'm not going to get involved in church. There's people who profess faith in Christ but really have very little to do with the local church, which is Christ's body, which is sort of unthinkable because this is what Jesus is all about in this era. And they are on the outside looking in because of some hurt, of some blame. The church, somebody, some pastor, some person, some family member has hurt me. Stop playing the blame game and simply believe in Him. Just believe. Believe that He can use you. Believe that your life can matter. Believe that those hurts ultimately will be healed and you can begin to find healing in this life if you'll just believe that somehow Jesus is there in spite of it all. Why don't you just do this, at least mentally and spiritually? Just gather up all those items of blame, all those things that are holding us back, and just discard them. Wash it away just as the mud is washed from this man's eyes. And just believe. You'll find a level of freedom that you've never, ever found before. Sometimes we get caught as believers in still blaming ourselves even after forgiveness. Oh yeah, I know Jesus forgave me, but I still beat myself up over this and I still regret this and I'm still in sorrow over this. I'm never going to get over that. Maybe we'll never forget. But we need to remember this. God does not remember your sins anymore. The Scripture says He's cast them into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our sins for us. Don't play the blame game on ourselves. So, stop blaming, just believe. Let's go to the next portion of our study, and we'll begin here in verse 8. Verse 8 says this, "Therefore the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, 'Is not this he who sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'It is like him.' He said, 'I am he.' Therefore they said to him, 'How were your eyes opened?' And he answered and said, 'A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, "Go to the Pool of Siloam and wash." So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." You notice all the questions in this section? This leads us to the next aspect that we need to avoid. Stop with the questions. Just believe. If you're on the outside looking in and you need to come to the Savior, stop with the questions, just believe. If you're on the inside, and sometimes we on the inside are actually looking out, a person of faith, but we need to move forward in our faith, stop with the questions, just believe. These people were so amazed at what they see, but they missed the point. In other words, they were seeing, even before this story started, they were seeing he was blind. And he saw far more in his faith in the Lord Jesus. You remember what it said back in verse number 7, where it says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which he translated sent. That Siloam means sent. And Jesus sent him there. And the fact that he was sent there and he chose to obey that indicates that he believed that Jesus indeed could heal him. I mean, after all, I just saw a crazy man. He rubbed mud in my eyes and said, go wash in the pool. That doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that to be true. I'm just going to stay here. I might miss some income from my begging activities. But he really did believe. He just believed. Stop with the question. Sometimes our questions are just, I can't figure this out. It doesn't make any sense that God would love me, that Jesus would die for me. How could someone dying for me all those years ago affect my eternal destiny for all eternity? Stop with the questions. Just believe. Those things are true. And by the way, the ultimate arbiter of truth is what God says in His Word. The Bible says of itself that it is, it says in 2 Timothy, it is God-breathed. It is directly from the mouth and the breath of God. This is the message that you can believe. And what it says about the Son of God, that, that His life and His words are recorded in this text, in this book, He is one you can believe. So stop the questions. How could this be? Just come and believe. And then in verse 13, we pick up a whole section of controversy and questions, all right? So, verse 13, they brought him who formerly was blind. I love that description of John, don't you? They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now, here's a problem, verse 14. Now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see. He just sticks to the facts. I don't know much. I'm at the beginning stages of this relationship with Jesus. All I know is I was blind. He anointed my eyes. I washed. Now I see. Very simple testimony. But they can't accept that because they had a predisposition to disbelieve. And they show that in their questions. Verse 17, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, well, he's a prophet. Well, they didn't want to hear that, because they'd already rejected the divinity and the supernatural origin of Jesus. He was not the Messiah. He was not the Savior. So they just keep with the questions. They don't give up. By the way, that's what disbelief does, or willful disbelief. We just keep throwing questions. We keep saying why, how, when, where, who. Jesus says stop with the questions. God's Word says, in essence, by implication in this passage, stop with the questions, disbelieve. How can God love me when I've been hurt this bad? Just believe that He does. He says it. Is my life really going to matter? Am I any of any importance or of any value? Just believe. Ah, He loves you with an everlasting love, we're told in Scripture. He loves you with a royal love, as He describes in the Old Testament. Jesus said this here in the Gospel of John. He said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Stop with the questions. Just believe. Now, this just kind of continues on. I'm going to, for time's sake, kind of condense this a little bit. But it says, verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. We don't believe you. We think you're a plant. You're like the magician having a plant in the audience that already knows some information, is already set up to say, oh, it's that card that the magician is thinking about, okay? So they go and get his parents, and they bring them in. And they ask him, verse 19, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. Here's the real key, 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. It was a predetermined outcome, and they just keep throwing questions. The parents don't really help a whole lot here, do they? This is our son. He was born blind. How is he healed? We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. We're kind of throw him under the bus, in other words. So it's an interesting question, situation. It's just questions. Now let's think about us again, okay? For the person that is on the outside looking in, sometimes the questions we say is simply like this. This can't be. This is too easy. Surely I have to do something to merit salvation. I have to reform my life. I have to be, if I could just be good enough. In fact, it's sometimes we make it more simple in our perception than that. If I could just be better than them or she or he. No, that's not the way it works. We need a Savior. And yes, He did everything for us. All we have to do is stop with the questions. Just believe. Believe that He died on the cross for you. Believe that in His death and resurrection, He's provided all that you need for salvation. That if you will believe in Him, He will forgive you. That He will come into your life. That He will start the process of changing. And someday He will take you to be with Him in heaven for all eternity. What a wonderful truth. But how can that happen? How does that work? Stop with the questions. Just believe. Sometimes we think, you know what? It's too free. It's too easy. Or maybe this is, maybe I've been too bad. Maybe God can't forgive me because, stop with the questions, just believe. For us as believers, we need to practice a little bit of belief in this sense. Sometimes we get a little skeptical because of the skeptical world around us. Imagine this scenario, you probably experienced this. Someone has a medical concern, it looks bad. And the doctor says these test results look really, really difficult and really dangerous. So we're going to go for more tests. And someone says, would you pray? I'm waiting for additional medical tests or results. Will you pray for God's healing and God's intervention here? And you do. You enter and you pray, Lord, help this person. Heal them, provide for them, all those things. And then we come back to the doctor the second time. You know, we've looked at these results and you know what? What we were concerned about really isn't what we're seeing now. We don't see that same spot on the x-ray. We don't get the same test results back. You have a clean bill of health. Now, what do we do at that point? Well, you know what? The doctor just must have made a mistake, and it's just a coincidence. It's just one of those things. Stop with the questions. Stop with the explanations to our questions. Just believe. Just believe that God was involved. Did He heal? Probably. Was it a misdiagnosis that somehow He's teaching something? Could be. But just understand, just believe, God was in that. God is in it even when the diagnosis is bad. God can still sustain and God can lead us. And God has something far better for us than what we experience in this life anyway, waiting for us in eternity. That being the case, stop with the skepticism. Stop with, oh, it's no big deal. Stop with the, oh, it just would have happened anyway. Yes, we take our needs to the Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for ourselves. And then we give God the glory. There was no doubt in this particular account that Jesus had performed a miracle. So let's make sure that we do as well. Now, they continue on in the story, and it gets really strange here. I want you to look at verse 24. So they again called the man after the parents, the man who was blind, and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner." Now, glorify God. Honor God here. We know he's a sinner. I mean, the irony is profound. Look at verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, though, that though I was blind, now I see." And they continue on and on in this, and they say, you know, we have Moses and all these things. Go down to verse 30. The man answered and said, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes." And they respond, 31, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears them." And there's all these questions continuing on, and it just goes on and on in unbelief. Just make sure you don't go on and on in your unbelief. Stop with the questions. Just believe. Now look at verse 35. Let me back up to verse 34. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. That meant he was banned from the synagogue. 35 now. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." Then he worshiped him. He comes and ministers this guy. He's been rejected by his own people, by his own authorities. He's been cast out of his synagogue. But he comes to this place, and Jesus talks to him and leads him to this final step of belief. It's interesting. You know, there are some people who will tell us that Jesus never claimed divinity. He never claimed that he was the Christ, the Savior, all those things. But this passage is very much on display that he did. He says, "I am that one, the one who's speaking to you." He receives worship. This leads us to the third aspect of this just believe in Jesus we want to talk about, and it's simply this. Stop the delay. Just believe. I love how this man, at this moment, just believes. Now you think about it. He how does he respond? How do we express our belief? We as believers, how do we do it? It's as simple as this, verse 38. Lord, I believe, then he worshiped him. We declare our belief, and we do that in our normal experience of a believer coming to know Christ as our Savior, believing in him, making our faith public through the waters of baptism. That's the thing Jesus told us to do, to be baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then we continue to declare with our lips that he indeed is Lord. But then we worship. He fell down before him and he honored Jesus and treated him as God. That's basically a good definition of worship, isn't it? Just treating God as if he is God, for indeed he is. Don't delay, just worship him. Don't delay, just believe. We express our belief in worship. And thank you for joining us in this online worship service. But also I want to encourage you that we make worship a daily part of our experience with the Lord. Give him thanks, give him praise, give him honor. Treat him as God. You'll be better for it, but more importantly, God deserves that and so much more. So stop the delay. Find time every day to worship him. Now, there's one other aspect, and this again is for those on the outside looking in. Verse 39, Jesus says this, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see and that those who see may be made blind. And then there's some overhearing here because look at 40. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Kind of an odd sounding statement there at the end. But in essence, he is calling them blind. Because if you don't believe, you're spiritually blind. He says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. In other words, if you recognized you had a need, if you knew you didn't know at all, you knew you needed help from the outside, you would come to saving faith and your sins would be gone. The fact that you say, we see, we are satisfied in ourselves, we'll make it ourselves, we don't need a Savior. That's why he says, therefore your sin remains. Friend, you don't want your sin to remain on you, do you? Here's what you do. Stop the delay and just believe. Come to the point of believing in Jesus as your Savior. You can do that right now. You can do that immediately. Just bow your heads and mean it in your heart, obviously. But just tell Jesus that you know that you're a sinner and that you believe he died for you and you're accepting his free gift of salvation. Just tell him you believe. Now, if you need help with that, I want to encourage you to do something. We would love to give you the opportunity to speak to a pastor to just make sure you understand these things about salvation or if you have any other spiritual need. There's a place on our website, and you'll see it on the screen below. It's just calvarywv.com/talk. And you'll find links there where you can talk to a pastor about these things. If you're watching this right after a live stream, you'll see a Zoom link, and you could have a video conversation just between you and a pastor and talk about these things. He would pray with you and help you in any way he could. If you're watching this in recorded format, you can go to that same webpage that you see on the screen there, and you'll find a link to start a conversation by means of email. And we would encourage you to take that step if you need someone to counsel with you. If we were in a live setting, we'd say, there's a pastor available after the service. Come and speak to them. Well, this is the online digital invitation. You go to that page, and you'll find a way to connect with a pastor if you need that help. Believer in the Lord Jesus, we need to make sure that we don't delay. Just believe. We need to stop with the questions. We need to just believe. We need to just, in every area of life, just believe. So here, it's simple as this. Let me just sum it up in one final statement. What do we need to do from this passage? Just believe.